been good to anybody here? Has he blessed anybody here? Are you breathing? He said, if you got breath, praise the Lord. Even if it's not as much as it used to be. Amen. Just go ahead and give him praise anyhow. Amen. We got a request, but I'm going to sing anyway. So worship the Lord with us. Leaving on my mind. This old house that I'm living in, it's needing repair. 'Cause the windows and the shutters are letting in the cold, cold air. I say to myself, I'm gonna fix them soon as I can get the time. Oh, but all I've been getting lately is leaving on my mind. Lately all I've got is leaving on my mind. And it seems that's all I'm thinking about most of the time. Oh, but soon and very soon I'll leave my troubles all far behind. Oh, 'cause lately I've got leaving on my mind. Oh, I guess I should be looking for some better place I could live, but I can't seem to get excited about this whole world and what it can give. Oh, I couldn't care less if I could buy it all with a solitary dime. 'Cause what good would a world do me with leaving on my mind? Lately all I've got is leaving on my mind. Oh, it seems that's all I'm thinking about most of the time, but soon and very soon I'll leave my troubles all far behind. 'Cause lately I've got leaving on my mind. Oh, lately all I've got is leaving on my mind. Oh, it seems that's all I'm thinking about most of the time. Oh, soon and very soon I'll leave my troubles all far behind. 'Cause lately I've got leaving on my mind. 'Cause lately I've got leaving my mind. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. Would you stand with me, please, as we turn in the word of the Lord? Amen. To the book of the first book of John, his first letter, first epistle, 1 John chapter 2, verse number 1 and verse number 2. Amen. And while you're turning there, we have a request to pray for Sarah Lynn. I don't get the last name. She has lupus, and there's a prayer request we're going to honor here in just a minute before we take this to the Lord. Amen. Well, you know, we have a God that honors and answers prayer. Amen. I wonder if there's anybody here today that's been healed. I wonder if there's anybody here that's been saved from your sins. Wonder if anybody here has ever been forgiven. Wonder if anybody here, God's ever provided a financial need that you had. Amen. You prayed and God gave you a job. Amen. God's just a wonderful God. Just a wonderful God. I wouldn't ask, but there might even be here somebody ask for a husband or wife. God honored that. Amen. And then there's some of you that wouldn't blame that on God. Amen. But he answers prayer. So let's go to him right now and ask that he would help Sarah Lynn today with a special physical need in her body. Jesus, I ask you to be with Sarah today. You see this physical need that she has. And I know that you're God that heals. And the Bible said, with your stripes we were healed. So I'm asking you today to curse this lupus that's in her body and deliver her and give her healing, that we can give a great testimony of the healing power of Jesus Christ. We ask it today in Jesus' name. We ask you to bless your word today as we preach the word of God. Let it find a lodging place. Let it find a residence in the heart of your people, that we can feast upon it and it can strengthen us and help us throughout the rest of this week. And we'll thank you for it, God, and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. John wrote to his disciples and he said, my little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Amen. I would preach today on this subject, an advocate and more. He is an advocate and more. Amen. The Lord bless you. May be seated. Sin is a universal problem. It does not matter where on planet Earth you go, sin is present there. There is not one society or community that is without sin. It's everywhere that you go. Sin is a daily and perpetual problem. We face it, we fight it, we deal with it all day long, every day. Sin is something that we have to contend with, folks. Amen. Not only is sin a problem for us, but sin is a problem for God. You see, God loves his people. Amen. But when sin enters in, it builds a wall between us and God. Because God is holy and cannot countenance sin. So it drives a wedge between the Creator and His creation and the Savior and His saints. God wants to fellowship with His people. God wants to draw near to us. But sin creates a separation between God and His people. But God, as we say often, is not a God of reaction, but He's a God of action. God already had a solution to this problem before man ever committed a sin. The Bible said there was a lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. God already knew what we were going to get ourselves into, and He made a way of escape so that we could get out of our dilemma. That's God that we serve today. I think we ought to give Him praise right now. Jesus, thank You for Your plan of salvation. Thank You for becoming our sacrifice, our Savior, and our solution. In Jesus' name, amen. So John writes to the church, and he calls them my little children. Now I know that may be a little condescending to some folks, but you got to understand, John was an old man. Very possibly, John may have been the last person living that had walked and talked with Jesus Christ. He was certainly the last of the apostles. They had all gone on now. But John was one of those people that literally sat down and ate with Jesus. And Jesus washed his feet. And he actually heard the words from Jesus' own lips. And he had pondered them now for a lifetime. And he had punctuated those promises in times of prayer when the Holy Ghost would open revelation and he would understand that's what Jesus said and that's what he meant. And now he's writing to children, to the saints of God, and he writes with great affection. Now that in itself is a miracle. You ever get aggravated with your kids? Shake your head like this right here. Yeah. Have you ever had a brother or a sister hurt your feelings and get on your very last nerve? Did you know that even happens to preachers? Did you know that pastors, that happens to them sometimes? And did you know that if you're not careful, you can get bitterness in your heart? But here's John riding in his 90s. And he looks back through many decades of ministry and countless hurts and scars and pain and disappointment and everything he's been through, and he still has affection and he still has love and he still loves the saints of God and he still loves his brothers and sisters and he still calls them my little children. Amen. Hey, there's a lot of folks who are not here today that ought to be here. Because they didn't learn what John learned. They let some little thing get in their heart that somebody said or somebody did, and that separated them from God. Amen. But John maintained his love. Let me tell you how to love people. Love God. The Bible said, for the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. If we stay full of the Holy Ghost, we will love our brothers and our sisters. You will not excuse their sin. But you will not hate them because of their sin. And you won't gossip about them. And you won't tear them down. You will do your very best to build them up. You will try to encourage them. You will not despise them. Amen. But you will love them with the same love that Jesus Christ loves you. Now see, that didn't cost anything extra, but it was good. Amen. So John says, my little children. And then he says, sin not. Let me tell you something. There is no excuse to sin. I don't like this idea that people go around saying, well, everybody sins. Well, they don't have to. And they go around saying, well, you know, you got to sin a little bit every day. No, you don't. The Bible said if you walk after the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You can live victorious over sin. You are challenged by the Word of God and commanded by the Word of the Lord to sin not. Don't you cut your flesh any slack. It's going to give you enough trouble as it is. Amen. You hold it to a rigid standard. Amen. You understand, hey, I can't give this sin, this old flesh, any occasion because it has an appetite. Then it'll cause me to stumble if I give in just a little bit. Amen. Don't you give it any excuses. Amen. So he says, he said, sin not. But then he goes on and he says, if. I say if. So if. It happens. There is a possibility. It's not an excuse. People that use those slogans, sinning every day and everybody sins, generally people are just kind of giving up. And giving in. And they've quit fighting. And they've quit battling. And they started making excuses for their flesh. Amen. Oh God, bring a conviction upon us. Amen. Help us to see the seriousness of sin. Help us to understand not only what sin does to us, but what it does to God. And if we love God enough, that ought to challenge us. That ought to stir us. That ought to bring us back to a place of repentance and, oh God, help me. I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to crucify you afresh. I don't want to bring shame or reproach. Help me, O God, to live above sin. Amen. Yes. Praise God. And so he said, but if any man, let me tell you something, it can happen to any man. I read somewhere in the scripture that said that if you see your brother in transgression or your mother or your brother sins, what does it say? We're supposed to kick him while he's down. It said restore such a one. Amen. And in a spirit of humility, here it is, it says, considering yourself lest you also be tempted. Every one of us have something in us, amen, that we battle to maintain the victory. It may not be the same thing as somebody else, but we all battle something. Amen. It may be anger and a temper. Anybody ever battle a temper? Don't raise your hand. Amen. Too late. Amen. Praise God. Somebody else may battle, you know, they may battle a spirit of jealousy. Amen. You see, that's not as subtle or not as oblate and flagrant as some sins are. Some things are real obvious, but there's others that are not as quite as obvious, but they're still as ugly to God, amen, as stealing and fornication and other sins. Amen. And so, he said, if any man sin, if you give in, if you fail. He said, we have. We, that means all of us. That means all of us. It's not select. It's not for one group and not for another group. It's for everybody. He said, we. And I like this word, we have. Not we had. It's not past tense. It's present tense. It's right now. We have an advocate. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Do you know what an advocate is? An advocate is a paraclete. Amen. It's somebody that you call to come and help you. That's what the word means. It means I call somebody to come to my side. Now, John used this in his letter, in his gospel in chapter 14. And there the King James writers translated the word comforter. And that's good too. Because you see, when John was recording that particular event, they were looking toward Calvary. It was just a few hours away. That event that was literally going to shatter their lives and rearrange everything that they had ever thought about Jesus Christ. So he said, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send you a paraclete. I'm going to send somebody to stand by your side. And you're not going to be alone in the darkest hours that you're going to be walking through when your faith is going to be sorely tried. There's going to be somebody beside you. That's what a paraclete is. Amen. Let me tell you something today, folks. We have somebody walking by our side. Amen. We've got somebody close to us. Somebody that we can call on. And He will come. Amen. That's what a paraclete is. It's somebody that comes alongside, and His purpose is to help us and to support us and to be our advocate or our witness. Amen. Now, I like what it says, who our advocate is. Now, if you get in trouble, an advocate, in other words, it's a lawyer. In a legal sense, it's a lawyer. And somebody said that he who defends himself in a court of law has a fool for a client. You need to get somebody else to represent you. Somebody that knows the system, knows the judge, knows everything else he can know. Because if you've ever been to a court, it's not about justice. It's a contest of lawyers. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. The heavenly court is about justice. And there is a judge that judges rightly and justly. There is a God that knows both sides of the situation. He not only knows what was said, but He knows why it was said. He knows the motive behind it. He knows everything there is to know about it. He's a righteous judge. And friend, when we stand before that judge, hey, we've got a lawyer that's going to stand with us. Hallelujah. And that lawyer is Jesus. The word means Savior. Hallelujah. My Savior's going to stand with me. And Jesus Christ, that is the anointed, the approved, the one sent of God, He's going to stand by me. He's going to be my chief witness. And not only is He Jesus, the Savior, Jesus, the anointed, but He's Jesus, the righteous. The one that in Himself is always, always, always right. The one that has never thought a wrong thought, committed a wrong deed. The one that knows no sin. He's going to stand by me as my witness. Amen. He already knows the end from the beginning. He knows everything there is to know about me. But He's going to stand by my side. And He's going to represent me. And He's going to argue my case. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So here's my advice. How can you lose with somebody like that? You can't lose in the court of heaven. Amen. If you repent of your sin, He'll come alongside you. And He'll stand there as your witness. And He'll stand before the throne of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And He'll say, Your Honor, he's guilty of sin. But I paid for his sin. I've already paid for this. He did it. He's wrong. He deserves death. He deserves hell. But I've paid a great price for this man. And my righteousness is greater than his sin. Amen. And the judge of all eternity says that's right. That's right. I see right here where you paid the price. I still see the blood stains. I still hear the cries. I still see the agony. I'll never forget. I see the prints in your hands, the thrust of the sword in your side, the nail prints in your feet. Yeah, I remember. You're right. Forgiven. Forgiven. Amen. So he's an advocate. He's a lawyer. But he's more than that. The next portion of the scripture says, and he is the propitiation for our sins. The word propitiate means to placate. It means to appease. It is especially a word that is used in reference to a God and the guilty. How do you pacify a vengeful God when you're just a creature? It's impossible. It's impossible. You can do nothing to pay for your sins. You can do nothing to pacify God. You can do nothing to appease His wrath. You can do nothing to withhold His judgment. That's where we need the advocate. Because He is the propitiation. Because He was the only acceptable sacrifice. So He actually, when God looks at my sin and He sees Jesus Christ, He said, that's enough. That's all you need. Hallelujah. That's all you need. You don't need anything else. I'm satisfied. He satisfied my judgment and my justice. Amen. And then not only is He a propitiation for our sins, but He's the expiation of our sins. That word means to take away or to disinfect or to remove or to blot out. Not only can Jesus Christ just appease God, but He can totally remove. He can disinfect or make disregard everything that sin would cause to me. Let me explain that. There are two realms. Sin has a physical effect as well as a spiritual effect. And you may well in your entire life suffer the physical effect of sin. Yes, you may. Yes, you may. It may cause a blot on your record. It may cause a blemish in your reputation that you will always live with, that people will never forget. Hello? That's why you've got to be careful. That's why you've got to be careful how you live your life. And especially after you're a Christian. People expect more of you when you're a Christian. You know what the first thing people say when you mess up? They say, I thought you were a... They expect more out of you, and they should. they should. If we're going to name the name of Christ, let's just don't talk the talk. Let's walk the walk. Let's just don't talk about being Christians. Let's go ahead and just be Christians. Let's don't get into making excuses. Let's go ahead and make a holy life. Let's follow after righteousness. Amen. Yes. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So Jesus Christ not only can appease the wrath of God, but He can literally blot out our transgressions. And what the songwriter said, he said, blood-stained pages. When the blood of Jesus Christ permeates the writings of the book of your life, and that blood covers everything, that's all God's going to see. Now Satan, he's going to be the accuser. He's the opposite. You see, the propitiation, he's the advocate. But Satan is the accuser. And he's going to stand there and he's going to hurl accusations. And every one of them, most of them are going to be true. But God's just going to say it doesn't matter. Because I'm the judge. And I'm the one that made the sentence. And I set the price. And it's already been paid. Before this man was ever born, there was already a price that was paid. And he has accepted the regulations, and he has accepted the consequences of that price that I paid, and therefore his sin is covered. Amen. Now, that's the power that your advocate has. Now you're not going to find a deal like that anywhere else in this world. I don't care how many degrees your lawyer may have, or what university he's attended, or how much experience he has in the courtroom. He's never stood in the court of heaven before. And when he gets there, he's going to be standing in judgment for his own sin. So he cannot help you. There's not a man that can help you. And there's not a demon that can help you. And there's not an angel that can help you. The only one that can help us today with our sin problem is Jesus Christ. Let's stand together. Thank you for your time and for your attention. He and He alone can help us today.